Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, and welcome back to the great episode of the Goobly Sea Podcast. David here with Randy and with Justin to talk about some cool shit and some not cool shit, but mostly cool shit. Justin, how you doing today?
I am fabulous. I'm not sick. I am 100% A-OK Super Mega Justin again.
Yes, that's the best kind of Justin. Randy, how are you doing?
Unfortunately, Justin has passed his illness on to me via the internet. I can only blame Skype. No, actually, I'm fantastic. I am wonderful, and I'm excited to be here with you guys.
Yes! I got you both at your prime. Put on your nerd hats. Let's do this. Justin, Ron Howard said Ron Howard didn't say it. Rumor is that Ron Howard's been saying a lot of stuff on Twitter, and if you're not following Ron Howard on Twitter, shame on you. Because he's having some fun. He's having some fun making this this movie, the Han Solo, Solo, A Star Wars Story. But rumor is that he may have directed 80% of the film. You know, it was originally supposed to be the final 3 weeks of principal photography plus, 4 or 5 weeks of reshoots. But we're on like month 4 now, and they just recently wrapped. So like I said, rumor is he shot 80% of the movie. Does that A, surprise you, and B, does that make you more encouraged that maybe we'll get a more like solidified tale and we won't have to worry about it being so segmented and like schizophrenic?
You're asking me?
Yeah. I started with Justin.
Did you? I missed that part.
Well, then I asked a question for like 30 minutes.
So. Oh, okay. Well, I had to hurry up and follow Ron Howard on the Twitter, and he's at real Ron Howard. I didn't want to be a loser like you said I would be.
Did you hear my question? Do you want me to read it?
No. I think that it is a good thing that Ron Howard has directed 80% of this film, allegedly. Now we will have a more cohesive film instead of this segmented Ace Ventura movie that you guys were talking about before. The end.
I couldn't agree more.
They put it in like zeros and ones to be a little more binary there.
I was trying. It was a long question. I was repeating it in my head as I was talking. Like when you're listening to headphones while you're like on a plane and you start talking really loud to the person next to you because the shit's going on. That's what it was like. I apologize.
That's okay. No, it's no problem. So Randy, now Justin brought up the Ace Ventura comparison that some people were throwing out. Although I can't imagine
Randy threw it out.
Randy, definitely. Randy was on set, and he is the leak. He's the mole.
It's just what I hear.
it's just what you hear.
Keeps the seat on the ground, man.
Randy, you're a post-production kind of guy. Now, does this concern you that, we still have a May release date? They haven't budged, and they wrapped principal photography. They obviously have a plan. I would have thought if they were going to budge the release date, they would have already budged it. Are you concerned that, they went a little longer, they may not have time to do all the post-production, or are you confident that they did all that during, like, previs and stuff like that?
I'm pretty confident about it, and here's why. Because I have to imagine that a lot of the stuff that was in the script that they knew they were going to be needing a lot of visual effects for example, if there's any space battles or if there's any entirely CG sequences, that's not dependent on any live action stuff that's shot. So I think they could still be working on post for a lot of the movie, even while Ron Howard was shooting. And they could have structured it so that the majority of the visual effects intensive stuff, like a lot of the green screen stuff or anything that's going to need any kind of heavy VFX, a lot of that stuff could have been scheduled early on in the Ron Howard shoot, leaving the more practical stuff for the end. That way it'll give the post crew enough time to get it out for that May date. I will also point out, speaking of green screen, like when we saw like the only still that I think that we saw of Donald Glover as Lando in the cockpit of the Falcon, it was while the Falcon was jumping to hyperspace, and they did that practically. They had like a giant projection wall behind them, and you saw like all the star streaks kind of going by there. So it's like when you see that they're going to the effort of doing that practically, it's like, well, of course, they're going to be adding a lot of visual effects all throughout the film, I'm sure. But even something like that, which I would so easily take for granted as being something they could just slapdash against a green screen and boom, you're done. The fact that they were doing it practically, it means like, well, maybe there will be slightly less work for the post team. And that will be a quicker turnaround to get out by May. Honestly, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think it's going to be completely fine. They know there's a lot riding on this title just from all the controversy alone. And I don't think they being both Disney and Lucasfilm, are going to allow it to go out feeling cheap and cheesy and rushed. So I think it's going to be fine. I'm not worried in the slightest.
Cheap, cheesy, and rushed.
Randy, put that on the poster.
That's on my business card for my all your post-production needs. Randy Van Dyke. Cheap, cheesy, and rushed.
Oh, love it. Sell used tires also.
Yeah. Yantas in the rear.
In la trace.
That's his motto. He composites, you render.
Yeah.
I saw a great tweet that just kind of blew up on the internet. I don't remember if some random dude who did it. He's like, spoiler alert, the new Han Solo movie is going to take place between episode 5 and 6. And it was probably like 200 comments of people bitching that they don't want this movie to take place within the original trilogy before someone finally pointed out that Han Solo is in carbonite during between 5 and 6.
He's asleep. It could have been his dreams while he's frozen.
A lot of people say that's what the Indiana Jones movies are.
Oh.
I kind of like it. It's a weirdly romantic way of looking at it. I like that.
Sure. It is. Until they meet one day. Han Solo and Harrison, or not. Han Solo and Indiana Jones meeting on the battlefield. There was a comic where they did, but.
There was a comic. Yeah, I actually have that comic.
Yeah, that shit don't count no more.
Yeah, it's like Indiana Jones on some expedition through some overgrown jungle, and they come across this crashed Millennium Falcon with the skeleton of a human in there, which I think was Han Solo. But Chewie was still alive, because Wookiees can live to be freaking ancient.
How
so,
old?
I don't know. I don't have
hundreds
an answer to that
of
question.
Years. Chewie's yeah. like 200.
Now, is that in Wookiee years, or is that in real-life human
years? Is that
being?
Like dog years, or...
it's in, like, here? Human years?
Oh, okay.
Like Han Solo years?
And what? Han Solo is from where?
Corellia. Yes.
But he is a human?
Where all the best people are from.
Are they humans? Are they known as humans? Or just?
Well, he is a Corellian, but yeah, he's a human. Humanoid. Right.
They actually refer to the term human at some point in time in the Star Wars movies, don't they? I mean, other than the cutscene where Han Solo calls Jabba the Hutt a wonderful human being.
Yeah, you're a wonderful human being.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't he still call him that in the special edition?
Maybe. Which makes it all the more interesting considering he's a CGI slug. But
I mean,
I'm pretty sure at some point in time, like in the prequels, like Padme says it, or somebody says it in the prequels, I think. They make a human reference.
Shit.
I'm sure, just for the ease of... Just like they all speak English.
I know, which is galactic basic or whatever, but yeah. I would prefer being called something other than human.
Sure.
But even though it's, you know,
movies
whatever,
like yeah. WALL-E make you question, what does it mean to be human?
Ooh, this guy knows what's up. Let's get bucks.
And like David's favorite movie, Chappie, probably the same thing.
Oh, shit. we've moved on from David's favorite movie, Hulk. Now it's Chappie.
Well, like statute of limitations. Some people don't know what Hulk is. It's been written out. No one wants. You can't get it anywhere. It's gonna be that cult classic that you're gonna be cool when you like Hulk and the Poodle and Nick Nolte.
Oh my god, a fucking Nick Nolte. That guy. Okay, well, Justin, let me pose you this question. Riddle me this. All right, okay. It's gonna be a long one. So, you know, traditionally, and by that I mean the last three Star Wars movies, Disney has started their push about a year out for marketing, and they let the current film debut. You know, so let's take Force Awakens. They let Force Awakens come out in the theater before they started to promote Rogue One. So they have Force Awakens comes out in December. You know, April, May is when Force Awakens comes out on DVD. At that point, the marketing is pretty much done for Force Awakens. Then they focus on Rogue One. Rogue One, they start advertising that summer, comes out December. They don't really talk about Last Jedi, show any trailers for Last Jedi until the following year. So with this one, with Han Solo coming out in May and with a shortened marketing window, what do you think are the odds that we will see a Han Solo trailer either attached to Episode 8 or shortly thereafter?
I think it would be fantastic that there was a teaser before Episode 8, sort of like the opening act for like stand-up to get the crowd ready. I think that would be fantastic.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see them do it Back to the Future 2 style and roll it right at the end of the movie.
I like that.
It's like
that.
You're all pumped up from watching Episode 8, and then just before or just after the credits roll, because you know there's not going to be anything post-credits in a Star Wars movie, but this is what could keep asses in the theater seats until the credits finish rolling. Boom, they give us the Han Solo trailer right afterwards.
I like that.
And that works out good, too, because if it sucks as a trailer, if it's afterwards, you're not bummed when you see The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So if it's before and it's kind of a hot mess, then you're like, oh, I don't even know if I want to watch this Star Wars movie now.
Mm-hmm. But you know it's not going to be a hot mess. They are going to pour so much marketing money, and they are going to be just throwing stacks of cash at the trailer cutting company, whoever's doing it, to make it look as good as humanly possible, because there is a lot in terms of their credibility in the eyes of the public riding on this movie. They are not going to put out a trailer that looks cheesy.
Yeah.
Cheap,
cheesy, and rushed. I mean, they have kind of an uphill battle, because, I mean, like, the best way to market this, you know, so with the Kenobi movie, assuming they get, you know, Ewan McGregor to play Obi-Wan Kenobi, they don't have this problem, but they have a different actor playing Han Solo, to where the best way to do it would be to, like, almost have half the trailer be, like, old clips from the original trilogy to get those member berries and all the nostalgia flowing, and then kind of fade into the new stuff, kind of like how they did with Episode 3, where it was Obi-Wan talking about peace and Guardians of the Galaxy and shit like that. But I don't think they can do that by going from 4 to 4 to Ehrenreich.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would work, so I'm sure it'll be fun. They can just show us glimpses of shit, and at the very end, just let us know the Thrawn's in it, and then everyone will be like, oh, Thrawn's in this. Fuck, I love this movie. This is the best movie ever.
God, if they do that, that will be the best movie ever.
I think it would be so cool if they were sitting, if it was like Lando and Han sitting at a table playing that game. Sabacc? Yeah. Huh. And just sort of them trying to call each other's bluff. And then right when they're going to throw down whatever their, we'll call them cards are, then it cuts to like the Falcon like taking off and flying, and then crazy shit happens, space battle, then Solo, the Star Wars story.
I would leave my seat to get into line for that movie.
I think that'd be cool.
Han sucker punches Lando at the table, steals the keys to the Falcon, flips him the bird, got you good, you fucker, as he runs up the ranch of the ramp of the Falcon, and he takes off.
Yell some space slur at him.
Yeah, and that's how Han Solo got the Millennium Falcon. I want to see that story.
It would be great if they kept, like, the, it's not canon anymore, but the, you know, he basically wins it in a card game.
Yeah.
I really want them to maintain that that thing, and it's all, like it's Lando being so cocky that he just spent, like, all this money on this ship, like, retrofitting it in, like, it's, like, his baby. And then he loses it to Han.
But Han's made a few improvements.
Yes. Han had an idiot's array to win. Sabacc is an impossibly complicated game that they could never explain in a movie, even with a Matt Damon Rounder style like narration.
Oh, that'd be fun. Maybe the whole movie should be like that, where,
dude, I would watch the shit out of that.
And Lando's like KGB, and Han goes big at the beginning and loses, and then he's got to get his money back, and then he wins the Falcon.
Sir, I would like to invest in this movie.
Can you imagine? And that's how he gets in deep with Jabba, and Jabba could be like grandma, and he's going to kill his friend. He's going to kill Chewie if he doesn't make good.
Mm-hmm. This is not a terrible idea, Josh.
I'm sold. I am sold on this.
Yeah, but Sabacc's complicated because your cards always change. Like, they're like data, they're like, you know, displays, and so they change unless you put them under this like field. It's like basically like holding your cards.
Oh.
And,
interesting.
So, yes. Heat lamp.
Yes, you have like 6 cards, I believe, and like if you get a card you want and you don't want it to change, you have to put it in this like field where it like, you know, basically like doesn't, that one doesn't change, but the ones in your hand will still change, kind of like drawing cards type thing. And you just gotta, and an idiot's array is their version of like a royal flush. Now you know. You guys are ready to play Saba.
I'm ready, yeah. Let's go to Vegas.
Let's hit the tables.
Next to the Pi Gow.
Let's go to Space Vegas.
Actually, yeah, right next to the Pi Gow.
I wonder, speaking of gambling in Star Wars, you know, we are going to a casino planet in The Last Jedi, Canto Bite. Yeah. I wonder if we'll get some sort of, if they do bring Sabacc into the new canon, I wonder if we're going to get any kind of like introduction to it or even just like a little Easter egg showing it there. That would be pretty cool.
I'd be excited. I would, I mean, just as a fan of, you know, the expanded universe, it would be pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Bunch yeah. of nerds.
Huh. Yeah. You don't want to pitch the movie idea.
I know my audience.
It's true. We are pretty much the core demographic here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shifting gears from Star Wars
to Star Wars.
Star Wars. We got a whole bunch of international stuff and featurettes for The Last Jedi.
Shit.
You know, started out, we got a sweet featurette all about Rian Johnson and why everyone just fucking loves this guy and like thinks he's the greatest and how he should direct episode 9. Oh wait, he's not directing episode 9. But it was cool. We got to see a lot of fun footage and stuff like that. And these behind the scene reels that they've showed at like Comic Cons and stuff are really starting to grow on me. Like, I'm already sold on seeing the movie, so sure, trailers are great, but, you know, I do appreciate the craft of filmmaking, and these are really kind of giving us a glimpse into it. And then on top of that, we got an international trailer from Japan. It was mostly the same footage that we'd already seen with a couple real quick inserts of, like, C-3PO and Chewie somewhere and Rose. But it kind of rearranged them to where it maybe made a little more sense chronologically. You know, it wasn't Leia looking out the window and Kylo Ren with his finger on the buttons like, oh, I'm going to shoot this bitch. Mm. It was more in line. And then we also got a poster, you know, which was a pretty badass poster. It's mostly identical to the traditional one. We have the red with Luke in the background and Rey and Kylo right underneath them, except Rey and Luke are not only switched, but Luke has a lightsaber. So it was the first time we see old man Luke with a lightsaber, and interesting enough, it's the blue lightsaber. So out of all that shit I just talked about, Randy, what most excited you?
Honestly, it was that image of Luke holding his old lightsaber. And you could tell the artwork wasn't just like, you know, we slapped Luke's face there, but it's Rey's hand holding it or something. You see his gloved hand holding it. That's pretty provocative. That and the fact that it shows Rey and what everybody is kind of started out as jokingly but becoming more seriously calling the villain position looming in the background in the center of the poster image. I think it's a really provocative image. And of course, just like the trailer, it could be meant to distract us and throw us off the scent. But it could very well just as easily be actual foreshadowing. So I love the idea of seeing Luke with a saber again. And I am enticed by the idea of Rey going bad. So I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Are you upset that it's not his green lightsaber, or do you? And so, on top of that, do you think he will have his green lightsaber in the movie? And this is just kind of like, you know, just an artist's mistake, or do you think that this will be his lightsaber?
Yeah, like if you look at the original Return of the Jedi poster, even back when it was called Revenge of the Jedi, it showed Vader with a blue lightsaber, and somehow Luke had the red one. So it is easy for the wires to get crossed in the art. But I have to say, you know, back in 1982 when they first designed that poster, or maybe early 83, whenever it was, versus today, there's a lot more stringent corporate eyes looking at stuff today, so I don't think a mistake would get out. I think it's intentional, and I don't think we're going to see Luke's green lightsaber ever again. I think when he maybe turned his back on the Jedi ways, I think he either destroyed it or hid it or something, but I don't think we're going to see it in this movie. Maybe he'll bust it out in episode 9, but I think the only weapon we may see Luke actually fight with is that little wooden stick that we saw him with in the trailer. His little walking stick. Even his action figure comes with a, like, you know, the original Yoda action figure from 1980 came with a little cane and a little snake. Yeah. Luke should come with a cane and a porg. That's like his version of a snake. But he doesn't come with a porg. He comes with a cane instead. So I think that's going to be the only stick we see him wielding.
So you're saying Luke won't use a lightsaber at all in Last Jedi?
I don't think he's going to use it at all in Last Jedi, either his old blue one or his Return of the Jedi version green one. I don't think he's going to use a lightsaber at all. I think this, because it's an international poster, you kind of have to approach different crowds in different areas of the world with different imagery to kind of get them interested to go see it. I think they want to see Luke with a lightsaber, and they're just doing that to placate that particular demographic of fans to get them in the theater to see it. I don't think Luke's going to wield one at all. I hope I'm wrong, because I really want to see him be a badass with the saber, but that's just my gut reaction considering what we've been hearing and seeing coming out of Last Jedi production.
See, in the flashback sequence, you might see the lightsaber with the rain and all that stuff in the temple. Mm-hmm. But I would love for it to be sort of like a Tombstone moment where he's got this case with his name on it, and he opens it, and then there's the hilt, and he's like, all right, time to go kick some ass. They forced my hand. Now I got to do it. That'd be cool.
Randy, do you think people will accept Luke Skywalker without using a lightsaber in a Star Wars movie?
Well, we've already had one.
Yep, that is true.
I mean, at least he held it.
Yeah, he held it for, you know, probably more than 50% of his screen time. So that, well, you know, he didn't even hold it.
No, she was just holding it out.
Yeah, she's holding it out. He never takes it.
Yeah. I'm mixing that with the trailer stuff.
I know, right?
He's like a conscientious objective now.
Totally. He's like
Andrew Garfield.
Yes, Andrew Garfield in that Mel Gibson movie. Thank you, Hacksaw Ridge. He wouldn't even touch the shit. But anyway, that's a whole different tangent.
You just took me down so sad, Randy. Like, I hadn't even entered, like, I understand it'll be a big moment when he uses it, and I just assume that, like, he wouldn't use it for a while. Like, he was, like, almost like a Quigley Down Under thing. Like, said I didn't have much use for one. Didn't say that. Didn't know how to use one.
Yeah, right.
That is a fantastic reference, by the way. Holy shit. Pulling out the Tom Selleck movies.
For the longest time, it was my only DVD started with Q. I was like, oh, I have every letter of the alphabet. But, yeah, that kind of bums me out. So,
Take it with a grain of salt, because that's just my opinion, just my speculation, and I am literally nobody. I am an asshole when it comes to the world of Star Wars. My opinion means nothing. I am just a fanboy like everybody else, but that's just my gut reaction. Take it for what it's worth.
When do you think C-3PO and R2-D2 are going to reunite? Is that this movie or the next?
Or Force Awakens?
R2-D2 and C-3PO?
Yeah.
I get, well, they did reunite, like, briefly, I guess.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right.
And R2 came back on.
That's right.
But R2 and Chewie are on Act 2 with Rey and Luke. And I don't know, but it seems like they're probably going to be there for a while unless Chewie takes the Falcon and R2 to go do something and leaves Rey there, which I guess is possible. But I don't know. I think they just get into shenanigans with those fucking porgs.
Oh my Seriously. God, don't say that shit. Don't say about the caretakers. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, the fish nuns. Don't leave out the fish nuns.
Oh, fuck.
I already know that R2 has a comical misadventure with porgs, and we've already seen from the trailer that Chewie kind of does, too, you know. They're going to be like freaking gremlins in the cockpit of the Falcon, so.
I'm fine if that one porg comes along. I do not, if there's more than one porg, I will be, I mean, I know there'll be more than one porg at Octu, but in the Falcon, I want that one porg. I don't need a whole bunch of porgs, and I'm fine if this porg somehow saves the day, somehow, like, in a comic manner. I normally do, but, like, R2 and Revenge of the Sith, like, when he, like, sets those droids on fire and stuff like that, that's some of my favorite. I love that shit.
But that's not accidental. He's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, like,
R2 is bending he's creating his own destiny. He's not having shit done around him. He is participating and controlling his destiny.
Right. What if it breaks away and it tears down the fourth wall, and then we have them, a bunch of porgs in a movie theater watching Star Wars like Gremlins 2?
That's a deep hole, Justin.
Are you ready for that?
Can it erupt into a fist fight and they knock through a wall and there's like can-can dancers?
Well,
I'm thinking Blazing Saddles now at this point. There's like this whole like synchronized swimming and dancers and a guy dressed like Hitler inside a commissary in the studio backlot.
Yeah, Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure he did, but they're going to resurrect him for this movie. They're going to use that Tarkin technology.
Yeah.
On Dom DeLuise.
He's worth it.
You're going to bring back Harvey Korman. They're going to bring back everybody, and they're going to recreate the last scene from freaking Blazing Saddles.
Hey, if it'll get us in the Cannonball Run, I'm all for revitalizing CGI-ing Dom DeLuise. I'm into that.
But again, that is yet another tangent.
It is. That's where we specialize in.
Where are we going with this? What's next?
So Justin, what out of all those things I listed, the international trailer, the poster, and the featurette, was there anything that stood out to you, or was it just kind of all like, this is all great, it's Star Wars?
Yeah, it's just all great, it's Star Wars. I don't really care. When the international trailer is like way different, then I'm usually pretty intrigued. I think it was the international trailer that gave us more Kylo Ren in when Force Awakens came out. That was pretty cool. Like when he was hiding in the bushes and stuff. I remember being excited about that. Some sort of real like oh shit kind of moment, but there's nothing like that. So.
Yeah, I remember the international trailer for Force Awakens also brought us that sun shot with the TIE fighters flying like through the sun.
Oh yeah.
That was a pretty badass shot. And I remember that was unveiled in the international trailer. For me, the featurette had this, like one of the last scenes in the featurette was in what I'm assuming is like Snoke's like throne room. And it's just all the walls are just this illuminated red and you can see the throne. And then you have, Rian Johnson and all of these crew people. And they're all wearing these little booties because of the mirrored floor and just looking at the size and the scope. And you can see like people that are clearly stand-ins for the Praetorian guards. And just looking at that got me really excited. Gave me some real big, like, Return of the Jedi, Emperor's Throne Room vibes. And I was pretty pumped. Not going to lie. Pretty pumped.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess we'll go from fun news to kind of sad news, kind of shitty news. House of Cards, stars Kevin Spacey, who has recently been accused. Well, not really accused. He's kind of admitted it, sort of weird come out of the closet thing where he I forget the gentleman's name. Frank Appo, is that his name? That's not his name. Anyways, he was charged with doing some terrible stuff, which is deplorable, and if it is true, that's a very bad look for Kevin Spacey, and I think it's terrible and there's no forgiving it. But he is the star of a very popular television show on Netflix, and Netflix announced first that they were going to be canceling the series after season 6. Season 6 would be the last season, which makes sense. The timing was weird, but, the show's kind of running its course, and it would make sense to end after the next season. Then probably like 12, 13 hours later, they talked about that they were currently developing a House of Cards spinoff show. They didn't have many details, just that it was in early development and it was a high priority at Netflix. And then today, on Halloween, it was announced that they were shutting down production of House of Cards. They were shutting down the production of House of Cards indefinitely until they could decide what to do with this scandal. And so I guess I'll put it to you guys, you first, Justin. Is this the right move, canceling the series? Or not canceling this, but putting this show on hold and putting hundreds of people out of work because of one person's indiscretions, should everyone be punished because Kevin Spacey's a piece of shit?
that's an interesting question. Anthony Rapp, first of all, is the...
There you go. Thank you very much.
The person you're thinking of. So when you put it that way, it sounds a little sad for all the... I mean, of course, it's definitely sad for everyone involved. But I think in this particular case, it makes sense. Kevin Spacey is the star of the show, and I think that Netflix is sort of protecting its name by doing this. There's no shortage of Netflix shows, and I have to believe that the crew for this series will have something else to do. I don't think everyone's going to be out of work for very long. But yes, that is unfortunate. And, you know, you mentioned his tweet. It is a really ridiculous tweet, by the way. You know,
it is.
I don't want to get too much into it, but that having two different things on this one tweet is absurd, especially when he's talking about, if this did happen, I don't remember it, it was inappropriate drunken behavior, and then he goes on to basically come out to the world that he is now living his life as a gay man. And I don't think it was a good idea to lump these two announcements together.
Yeah, because it seems like one is a distraction or a misdirect from the other, you know?
Yeah, and not only that, but people that are crazy and ignorant are now just going to lump, a gay man that was hitting on a 14-year-old.
Right.
And that is just going to say, is just going to, with the narrow-minded folks out there, they're just going to think that all gay men are pedophiles. You know what I mean? It's an oversimplification that a billion people, I feel like, are going to fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, and some outlets, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the outlets, they only reported on the coming out. Like, there were several, like, larger outlets that said, you know, Academy Award winner Kevin Spacey, you know, comes out of the closet and stuff like that, and totally burying the lead of the other stuff. And so, I mean, in one way, it was his way of, I guess, leading the narrative, but I agree with you. It was a terrible decision, and I think it puts a real black eye on some things. But
yeah, on the gay community, to be frank, it's terrible. But I mean, I do think that Netflix made the right decision. This is a very interesting time right now. There's a lot of stories surfacing. Victims are coming forward and they're telling their stories. And you know, I've said this before that I don't care how long someone remains silent, that, you know, the length of their silence does not discredit their story. People will tell their tale when they are ready. And a lot of these stories have inspired others to come forward, and that is certainly a good thing. Of course, in our country, you are innocent until proven guilty, but that's just one of those things. We just have to all grin and bear this together.
Now, yeah. I will say the alleged incident that happened was back in like 1986 or something like that. So it's 31 years ago. And while you're
famous.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, before he was definitely the household name that he is today. And I am in no way coming to Kevin Spacey's defense at all in this, but it's got to be real hard to remember details from 31 years ago, especially if you were a kid at the time. Now, granted, that would have been a traumatic experience, and traumatic experiences do stick with you. The details do stick with you much longer than, say, remembering what you ate for lunch. But after all this time, you know, things may not have happened the way he remembered them. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not in any way victim blaming or coming to Kevin Spacey's defense at all. I'm just saying, after 31 years, you're going to be hard pressed to remember the details.
See, I think quite the opposite. I think someone that felt that uncomfortable and felt like a victim is going to be constantly reminded of it, especially with Kevin Spacey's rise to fame. Every time he sees him on a fucking billboard, every time he sees an ad or a Netflix ad or just all the movies over the last like 25 years, I feel like that would just sort of rekindle that flame and upset him even more. So,
and just kind of like twist that knife, kind of.
Yeah.
I you know, I get that. And hearing you say that and kind of realizing that, yeah, every time he drives by a billboard or the side of a bus that has like Kevin Spacey's face on it or something like that, it would be like this harsh reminder that just, especially since Kevin Spacey's rise to stardom in the 90s, you know, for the last 20 years or so, just been that jabbing pain every time, just reminding him. I can kind of see where that would come into play. So yeah, I guess I get that. But
and I'm not here to. I pray this doesn't come off as victim blaming, because this is 100% Kevin Spacey's fault. And if it's true, you know, shame on him. Terrible, gross. But why is a 14-year-old at a party where like everyone's drinking and he does and they're all strangers?
That's the way these guys live their lives, man.
I think that's the actor's lifestyle.
Dude, that's why so many young actors just fall into that crazy category where they get into drugs and alcohol and they ruin their lives, man.
Well, yeah, just look at the stuff that Corey Feldman's been saying for years about how there's kind of this like weird unspoken subculture of pedophilia.
Yeah,
especially towards young boys in the industry. And that's why, supposedly, Corey Haim became so drug-riddled, or addled, however you want to say that, because he was so disturbed by his experiences when he was a youngster coming up in the industry. He was at the hand of so much abuse that he just, the only refuge he was able to find was in drugs.
Yeah.
And it's just terrifying.
Yeah, Corey Feldman, like, straight up said that Corey Haim was raped. He said that. Feldman was saying that I was, you know, sort of touched and, you know, abused, but Corey Haim was actually raped, and that's why he had these behavioral outbursts, and he was so troubled and disturbed, and can anyone blame him? Of course, no one knows that that's what happened to him, so he just comes off as the troublemaker, and that is just heartbreaking. That makes me so sad, and he's at this point where he can't really name names because so much time has passed. There's no evidence. So it would really just be like, you know, he'd be like Liebus. He'd be the defamation of character. So that's a real crime right there, that he can't even come forward without getting sued for, you know, putting someone's name in the mud.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of, like, people are having trouble with is there's, you know, that Me Too hashtag and everything, you know, trending and stuff like that, that, you know, the legality of naming your accuser. I mean, I can't imagine how hard it is to be the first one. And I know all these people are piling on like Harvey Weinstein and stuff like that, because, you know, the groundwork has been laid. You know, there were a couple brave souls, you know, like Rose McGowan and stuff, who came forward first. And so these other people don't have to be like the brunt of the backlash. But I just, it's sad that we don't live in a world to where people, men and women, can come forward and, you know, just name their accuser. It's a shame. But I didn't get your answer, Randy, about did Netflix make the right choice in putting, you know, a couple hundred people out of work instead of just putting one out of work?
I think there could have been such an elegant way to write his character off and continue that series going. We were talking a little bit about it before we started recording tonight, but I would be... Now, granted, I am not all the way through the current season in House of Cards. I'm like halfway through. But I would love to see them kill off his character, because there's already been an assassination attempt on Frank Underwood. So I'd like to see them maybe successfully pull that off, kill off his character, and have Robin Wright take over. Because I think she's an infinitely interesting character in there as well. So to me, it seems harsh to put a lot of people out of work and shut down production of the whole show because of an incident with one person. Now I agree with what Justin said. I'm sure none of them are going to have a hard time finding work. And, you know, when you do work in the industry, you are working gig to gig, job to job. So it's not that big a deal, but it is definitely throwing off their schedules. If you thought, hey, you know, I'm going to be on this gig for the next 4 months because we're doing a whole season of this show, and all of a sudden you're looking for work the next day, it can be a little bit jarring. So I can see the frustration there. To me, I just think they could have done it in a satisfactory way, not only in the eyes of the crew, but also to write off that character and perform a little fan service as well. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't that like the first breakout Netflix original show? Was there anything before that really? Yeah, I mean, it was huge. It's big, and you know, that is the foundation upon which all of the Netflix original programming is built today. And I don't know. I just think that they could let the show, not necessarily the character, but let the show die with a little bit more dignity.
Wish you were caught up, Randy.
I wish I was too, because now hearing you say that, it makes me wonder, what's going on? Am I predicting something, or am I way off base? What's going on?
The way the most recent season ends, it would be very easy to write him out. The problem is they're halfway through production, and so, you know, they've shot half of a season, basically, with him already in it. So, I mean, they would have to basically just reshoot it to where maybe that's why they're pausing it. Maybe they're like, let's find a way to where we can just kill him episode one and then just be rid of him and then keep going.
Just bring in Ron Howard. He's good at completely...
he's Frank Underwood?
It goes back to the first episode. I mean bring him in to direct.
The
dog isn't the thing that gets hit by the car. He's the one that gets hit by the car.
Yeah.
I just want to add, too, that Tarana Burke is the person that started the Me Too movement. You mentioned Alyssa Milano. She's the one that's in the news for it, but...
I did?
I said
Rose McGowan.
Oh, yeah, Rose McGowan. That's right.
She was one of the first ones to accuse Harvey Weinstein.
Right. But, yeah, I just want to say that the Me Too movement was Tarana Burke.
So she's who I have to thank for my Facebook feed not having any cats anymore.
Yes.
All the cat videos went away.
Isn't it amazing how many people you know did the hashtag Me Too? It's so disgusting. I feel terrible.
Yeah, and I saw quite a few guys on my feed post that as well. And then, unfortunately, I also saw them got lambasted for it. But it is something that can affect both genders.
Sure.
I'm not going to weigh in politically one way or the other how I feel about that. But it was unfortunate to see guys get torn apart for posting that kind of stuff. Like, they're not allowed to have been victimized as well. And maybe that goes into... again, I don't want to politicize it. I don't want to take
it's a new
one.
World, Randy. I can't have feelings.
I don't know. I feel the presence
of Amanda here. Somewhere.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Maybe we need a female voice occasionally, especially when we you know, typically this show doesn't delve into the political. We should probably keep it that way.
That's right. All right. Normally a funny show.
Yeah, fuck this. Let's move on to something.
Done
stupid.
With this. All right. Let's all think happy thoughts about Kevin Smith being shot out of Kevin Smith. Fuck.
Man, I thought you liked Kevin Smith.
I do. He had a...
Now
we're
he
doing
lost all that weight, you hate him.
We won't talk about his teary apology and stuff like that. But anyway, all right, fuck it. Chuck. Zachary Levi.
Who?
It was a show. Zachary Levi, he was Chuck. Big Nerd Bye. HQ guy. What?
What's Buy Big? What was the name of the retailer?
Big Buy More.
Buy more.
Yeah. I enjoyed a couple of those seasons.
the first few seasons were great.
I think it went like two seasons too long, but the first two seasons I really enjoyed, and I think he's a very talented and funny actor. He's in the Thor movies, very small part. He's got a couple other roles that are enjoyable. He's going to be Shazam in the Shazam movie. You know, we know Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be Black Adam, his adversary. But Zachary Levi had a funny little post where he was saying how thrilled he was to be in a part of the DC film universe, and that he will be spending the rest of his life in the gym trying to get into shape to be Shazam. So, Justin, do you have any history with the character Shazam to where this excites you, or are you just excited because of the talented actor joining a comic book movie?
I can honestly say that I have never in a million years cared about Shazam. And I've only been alive for 37 years, so that goes back pretty far. I literally have zero interest in Shazam. I'll watch the movie so we can talk about it, but I have never cared one way or another about the character.
So Zachary Levi's involvement just doesn't move the needle at all? You weren't interested before, or you're still not really interested in?
Correct. Is there a little boy? Because he's a little boy, and then he goes, Shazam!
Billy Batson, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a little boy, Billy Batson. He says Shazam, turns into Shazam. So we don't know if Zachary Levi is maybe playing an older version of Billy Batson, or, you know, how it's going.
I don't think so. I would think that he would be the decked out lightning bolt Shazam with the cape.
All right.
And I think that they'll have somebody else be the little boy. Unless they it's do possible. Like yogurt and Mel Brooks is just on his knees kind of thing.
Also possible. I could see Zachary Levi getting into shape. I mean, because like Jim from The Office, when he was in that Benghazi movie, like 13 yeah. hours or whatever. Uh-huh. He got pretty ripped.
Sure.
He's still pretty ripped. I could see it happening. Well, what about you, Randy? Does this make you more excited, less excited, equally excited? You don't think this movie should exist excited?
I am 100% on the same page as Justin on this one, where I had zero interest in Shazam. I don't really know anything about it, never cared about it. But I will definitely go see the movie just to see what it's all about. Just because I'm a little curious now, but not curious enough to pick up a book and actually like read any Shazam or anything. But I think we may have brought up the character once before on a top 10 list of ridiculous superpowers or something. I don't know. I know we've mentioned Shazam before on this show. But
he was on a list of comic book characters more powerful than Superman.
Oh, okay, there you go. See, clearly you come to this discussion well-armed. Unfortunately, I do not.
It was your list, Randy.
I'm sure it was, but, you know, I don't remember things.
Ever. Nah, that's no problem. I mean, he's kind of it was a bigger deal before we were born. Like, he was a huge deal on, like, you know, the golden age of superheroes, you know, back
like
in the day.
The 40s and 50s and shit, and then
yeah.
at some point in the 70s, he showed up again.
I have a special kind of place for Shazam, just because when I was a little kid, I had a little Hot Wheel, and it was a Shazam Hot Wheel. And so I always kind of thought it was a cool character. And, you know, DC has all their animated movies. They had a really cool Black Adam one. They had a really cool Shazam one. They were done really well. And Shazam is a character that is pretty cool, especially if you read, like, the Alex Ross's Kingdom Come. He's basically, you know, more powerful than Superman in some aspects.
I like the Shazam app on my iPhone.
Oh, yeah?
It can name that tune in, like, three notes.
I'll name that tune in two notes. I beat Shazam. Jimmy Fox.
I don't care about Billy Batface or whatever his name is.
The Batson.
Batson.
I was more excited at the prompts. They were hinting that John Cena would play Shazam, and I was excited because then it would be John Cena and The Rock in a movie, and they headlined two WrestleManias back to back. And so I've liked John Cena in a lot of the stuff he's been in recently. It's mostly been comedic, but you know, he still seems like an entertaining guy. But clearly, this is not the Shazam podcast, so fuck it. No Shazam. Your buddy, who played the comedian? Who plays Negan? Henry Dean Morgan?
Yes.
His name? Okay.
Jeffrey
Dean Morgan. Damn, I knew it was the first name.
You had two out of three right, though, so you get bonus points for that.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Billy Batson Morgan.
He was on Jimmy Kimmel. You remember, he played Thomas Wayne in the Batman v Superman movie.
Yes.
And now that we have a Flashpoint movie possibly coming after Justice League,
Batman. Yeah.
Thomas Wayne is Batman in Flashpoint, and Jimmy Kimmel asked him point blank, and his response was, how can I say? It was telling in his silence and smile. So that might be a thing. And Justin is someone who's... You watched the Flashpoint movie, right? The animated
series? Yeah. And read it. I'm a big fan. Big fan of Flashpoint.
Would it excite you if he became Batman for a time?
Absolutely. I would love every second of that. He looks like a Batman. When he was Thomas Wayne, I was like, I believe it. So, love the idea. Absolutely love the idea of him as Batman. I mean, we've seen him kind of as that... he was the comedian in
Watchmen.
And so he can do it. I think he would be fantastic as a Batman in whatever capacity, whether this be a 30-minute Batman or a 2-hour Batman. I think he could pull it off just fine.
He's definitely my favorite part of Watchmen. Like, when they're Nom and he's just blowing people away with a big old smile on his face.
Yeah, he's terrible, man. He's an awful human being. He pulls that off pretty well.
He just expanded it to Negan. What about you, Randy? Are you a fan of Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Is his work as Negan and or other characters?
I'm definitely a fan of his work as Negan. As for Watchmen, I don't really remember because I really did only see that once, but he definitely chews the scenery in Walking Dead, and he is probably the most compelling character, and your eyes are drawn to him as long as he's on screen, and especially if he's talking, he always outshines anybody else that's sharing a scene with him. So I'd watch pretty much anything he's in at this point.
Yeah, Walking Dead came back. You guys didn't want to talk about that? Did it suck?
I fucking hate it, dude. I don't know why I keep watching that goddamn show.
Yeah, sadly, I'm not really into this season yet either. God, nothing's so really bad. Happening, and it's
this was the first episode, right?
We're two episodes in.
Oh. Is it boring, or?
Yeah, it's just stupid. I mean, they just sit there and they waste fucking... First of all, everyone has a goddamn machine gun, and everyone is just all of a sudden military trained, at least they think they are. But what's so fucking funny, David, is that they just run in front of each other shooting. There would be so much friendly fire, it would be ridiculous. And they literally just shoot out a bunch of windows in this big epic battle that's supposed to happen. And then in this next episode, you're just watching a bunch of nameless fucks just get shot. And it is so stupid. I can't stand it, and I'm so mad at myself for even watching it every single week. And I've been saying that for a couple years now. I'm always disappointed. I don't know why I bother, but I just feel like I have to see this train ride end.
Yeah, I gave up years ago. Now, would it be better if when they got their machine gun, they wrote a message on someone's sweatshirt that said, "Now I have a machine gun too, ho, yeah. Ho, ho."
Ho, ho.
Maybe. There was one moment that actually kind of finally made sense, and there was this part where this guy, they're sort of doing some urban warfare, and they're running through the house, and they all got these guns, and they're in teams. And I'm thinking, Corey and I were talking about this. We're like, man, wouldn't they just be, like, scared out of their fucking mind trying to just breach this house? And finally, there was one guy that was just, like, kind of shaking, and he was uncontrollably, and he ended up costing the lives of others, which finally made sense. For some reason, I want it to be real. I realize it's fucking zombies, but part of me wants the show to be a little bit more grounded. And I'm just not getting it, and it's frustrating me. But on the topic of Walking Dead, Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie on Walking Dead, she was Martha Wayne in Batman v Superman. And it's worth noting that in the Flashpoint Paradox, Martha Wayne is the Joker.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because Bruce is the one that's killed, and the two parents can't deal with it. Obviously, the dad becomes Batman, and then the mama, she becomes Joker.
Oh my God, can you imagine how confusing that would be with another different Joker?
Right.
Oh, I just couldn't handle it.
I mean, I think it would only be like a 20-minute thing. I don't think you would have to see it for too long. I don't think they're going to rewrite the whole fucking Snyderverse. I mean, they could, but... I don't think that'll happen.
I think Justice League kills the DCEU. It's not blowing people away that have seen it.
Yeah, I think that's
their box office predictions are something like 110.
Yeah, less than Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's like 50 million less than Man of Steel. It's 25 million less than Suicide Squad. It's $104 million less than the first Avengers.
Yeah, they should just stick to Wonder Woman movies and be done.
Yeah. I mean, if Justice League just goes... I mean, obviously it's not going to go to shit. You know, it'll probably make, you know, at least, you know, $600 to $700, $800 million, which is a dud, but not a financial disaster. That's the word I'm looking for. At that point, it's almost like, Why waste our time on Flashpoint? Let's just burn this shit to the ground, make a Wonder Woman movie every couple years, and then figure this out in a decade or so.
I think it needs Jason Statham.
Everything needs Jason Statham. Who would he be? Shazam?
Yeah, Billy Batson.
Billy Batson? Who can Statham play in the DCEU?
I don't know. I don't care. Anybody.
You just want him?
I just want him.
He'd be Wonder Woman.
He could. It's pretty good.
That one. He's a good one. You. But Thor opens this weekend. You guys excited to see Thor?
Yes.
That's tracking for like $130 million. So that's $20 million more than Justice League.
Can't wait.
And all anyone says is that it's super fun.
I like
and
fun.
I think that's what we need. We need a fun badass movie. And it's gonna. I think it'll take the show. But this week's box office was just shit. It was like one of the worst weekends in like recent history. Jigsaw was number one. And then Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, for in its second week was number 2. And then to get to the next new movie, it's number 6 with Miles Teller's Thank You for Your Service. The George Clooney-directed Matt Damon-starring Suburbicon just completely tanked, only made $2.8 million. And, yeah, I guess people are just, there's none in the movies this weekend. Thor made $100 million worldwide, so I guess there was some shiny point, but hopefully Thor can revitalize that just crappy box office.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, man. It's weird. The last couple weeks have just been kind of lame movies. Even your Blade Runner 2, your greatest movie of all time, has only made like $8 at the box office.
It's got 81 domestically, and I think it's got somewhere in that neighborhood foreign. So, you know, it's approaching around $200 million. Yeah, I told my mom that she would she'd really like the Blade Runner, and she texted Blade Runner was slow and not very good.
Ain't that the truth? I like your mama. She's great.
It was very unlike my mom. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I told her she was crazy, and then she ran me back. I probably hurt her feelings, but. Oh. But yeah,
there's just nothing out there, man. It's all crap. And the Saw movies tend to do pretty well, like that first week.
Yeah,
they tend to usually crush it in the box office for a horror movie, anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were attributing, you know, a lot of people were staying home for Halloween and watching Stranger Things and having Halloween parties.
That's true.
So you know, maybe obviously next week we'll see a big bump with Thor, but you know, maybe like things like Jigsaw won't. Have the traditional like super decline that they normally would, but
I think it will. I think it's toast, and I think Suburbicon's going to be available on Blu-ray next week with Geostorm.
Geostorm. Geostorm made almost $6 million. It's up to $23 million.
It's going
to
be like a triple feature.
Like in Snowman dropped to number 18, maybe $1.2 million.
That's so bad, dude.
It's at $5.7 million on a $35 million budget.
Like I wouldn't have been surprised if Tyler Perry's movie was number one again.
What, next week with Thor?
No. This last week.
Oh, instead of Jigsaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jigsaw wasn't getting very good reviews. So, no,
but it's got that. It's a horror movie. It's Halloween. You're the asshole not going to see it. So.
Yeah, Happy Death Day made another $5 million. A lot of people are really liking on that movie, but I don't like scary movies.
That's the Groundhog Day.
Yeah. It still in the top 10, $2.5 million, $323 million domestically on a $35 million budget.
It's pretty good. Except now they're fucking remaking everything. There's a Pet Sematary remake. There's fucking. You know, there's gonna be a. Obviously, there's going to be It Chapter 2, then there's going to be a It prequel, and an It whatever spinoff.
They're talking about a Pennywise movie.
Yeah, see? It's going to go...
Isn't It a Pennywise movie?
It's going to go off the rails, and it's going to be too much of a good thing, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I guess It's natural enemy is a turtle, this giant... Space Turtle Monster.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm sure we'll get that movie too. Yeah. But it's at $666 million worldwide.
That's fantastic.
That's not bad for a little just goes to show if you make a good movie, people will see it. Right, Blade Runner?
I don't think so. It's just too fucking long, man. And science
is really long.
Science fiction's weird, dude. If it's not Star Wars, it's a really tough sell.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I agree.
That's true, man. There's not too many billion-dollar science fiction movies out there.
Well, I mean, in his genre films in general, you know, you got your sci-fi, your horror, your fantasy. But the difference is that usually horror is cheap, and so like it doesn't have to make $1 million. Like,
right.
Sci-fi is expensive, so it has to make a ton of money. And you know, we've seen that with whether it be Valerian, Geostorm, Blade Runner. You know, we've seen all of these movies that are these big spectacles, but nobody went to see them. And now, you know, now we're at that climate to where a new Star Wars, if it came out today, wouldn't get made because it's an original IP. So, yeah. What are we missing out on? Even Kingsman. Kingsman hasn't even hit 100 million yet.
It's true.
Not 6 weeks.
The first one was, it was lightning in a bottle. That movie's so fucking cool. And this one was definitely fun. But I feel like Kingsman was one of those ones where if you didn't see it, your friend told you it was awesome, and it sort of got passed around like Dread did, you know, after the fact, once it was out, then it got in people's hands. I feel like it was one of those movies.
Yeah, that's a shame. The Despicable Me 3 is about to pass Rogue One in total box office
receipts.
Are you
serious? Wasn't that movie garbage?
It was the worst. It was like unwatchable, but it's total lifetime gross is $1,030,000,000, and Rogue One is $1,056,000,000.
That is fantastic. The world we live in. I love it.
It is the 24th highest grossing film of all time.
that's funny.
It's disgusting.
Right up there with Air Bud 6.
It might as well be. yeah. I can't even talk anymore. That's all I got. You guys got anything?
I thought you had Gareth Evans' Deathstroke.
No, I didn't know. I figured we acted, brought the audience down with our Kevin Spacey rape talk. But yeah, Gareth Evans, the director of Raid and Raid 2, is going to direct a Deathstroke movie, which I think is great because that anti-hero could really use it. Justin, you've seen both Raid movies. Are you excited for this news?
Yeah, very much so. I could use some more Slade Wilson in my life.
Yeah. Let me depress you even further back to Despicable Me 3. Despicable Me 3 has made $1.2 million more than Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God. Does that account for inflation?
No, it doesn't, but it's just a scary thought.
It's so rad.
100 years from now, people look on this list and say, oh, Despicable Me 3, that must have been better than Jurassic Park, right?
That's awesome.
Sorry. What about you, Randy? Have you seen the Raid movies?
I have not, and I feel ashamed for saying that because I hear they're amazing.
Yeah, they're a great feat of filmmaking. Like, just like the mechanics of it. I think you would really dig that.
Yeah,
but they're pretty fun, and they're a lot of fun. Like Justin's Dread.
Question. With Deathstroke, he's a bad guy. So is this going to be a movie that focuses on the bad guy, or is it going to be he's sort of morally flexible and very much in a gray area and then gets pushed to be a bad guy by the end of it?
So he's not always a bad guy. I mean, we just know him mostly as the bad guy, you know, from Teen Titans or from Arrow and stuff like that.
Bad dude, man. He kills people.
In those shows, yes, he's the epitome of just bad. But in recent times, he has also been a good guy. I'm assuming we will see something that drives him to be a bad guy. Maybe, you know, his platoon gets murdered and gets killed because there's bad intel. You know that 80s movie trope and missing in action type stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming he'll be some kind of gray character who's just seeking revenge on somebody, and the people he's seeking revenge on just happen to be worse than him, if I had to guess. But is that interesting? Is it interesting to follow an anti-hero through a whole movie, Justin? Does that interest you?
I don't know, it's hard, man. It's a tough sell. If ultimately he's trying to do something good, like, for example, like Death Wish, this perfect example. Charles Bronson was a normal guy that, you know, his family was murdered, and then he goes out and becomes a vigilante and kills people. Yes, he's doing, he's breaking the law, but at the same time, he's getting the justice that he didn't get when the system failed him. So, I mean, I could kind of see him as an anti-hero, but I don't think that's what Slade Wilson's doing. I think he's just a trained killer and gets an opportunity to kill more people, so he does.
Little pew-pew.
So, I mean, Venom's going to have the same problem. You know, it's neat in small doses, but I don't know if it's a two-hour movie.
Well, and Venom's not even verbal. Like, at least, like, you know, Deathstroke is someone who can talk and articulate and, like, give his plan. You know, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not up on Venom, but I don't think he's that kind of interactive type person.
Right. The monster takes over, and he's just a gargly mess. So this isn't a way to bring in, like, the Teen Titans or anything like that? Like, DC's not going... we're not going to go that far? It's not going to be...
They haven't mentioned it.
And Raven and Beast Face or whatever his name is.
Beast Boy and Cyborg. No, they haven't mentioned it. But I mean, Cyborg is part of the DC film universe, you know, as he's in Justice League. It would be an easy way to bring him in. Robin's not that hard to make, you know. Starfire, Raven, and Beast Boy, you know, a little more complicated, but, you know, doable.
Sure.
Or just swap out the team members. Teen Titans have had a revolving roster for years. Obviously, we know the cartoon version's the best, but they could play fast and loose, like Randy does.
Sure.
When he's not, what was it?
Cheesy, and...
Rushed.
Rushed. Yes.
Used tires also.
Yeah.
The greasy.
Used tires in the rear.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. What about you, Randy? Do you care about this movie?
Not a bit.
More or less than Shazam?
Actually, more. Because I am kind of interested. Deathstroke seems interesting.
Fun and Arrow.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. Manu Bennett, or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the coolest voice in the world.
And that test footage that we saw that was supposedly going to be part of Justice League way back when, something like that?
It was going to be the
Batman. Oh, it was for the Batman? Yeah. I mean, the 2 seconds we saw of that looked cool, so... I have a more of a working knowledge of Deathstroke than I do of Shazam, so I guess I would be more inclined to want a Deathstroke film. So I'm cool with that. Bring it on.
Well, you know much more about Deathstroke because you know about Deadpool, and they're basically identical.
They look a lot alike.
One's Wade Wilson, one's Slade Wilson, one's Deadpool, one's Deathstroke. They both got swords, both like guns, both got the two-toned outfits.
George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
Exactly.
We should have your mom watch both movies and review them on the podcast.
But only like one sentence text reviews.
Oh, can we please make that a segment on the show?
I'll have my parents.
It'll be called movies
every weekend.
David's mom's one sentence text reviews.
There you go.
It'll be. I guarantee it'll be something the listeners look forward to.
I will tell her. I always wanted to, like, do, like a game with her. Like, just, like, interview her, like, ask her questions, but I never did. Maybe I will. We're going out of town for Thanksgiving, my whole family. And maybe I'll bring the Zoom recorder and ask her geek questions.
Fantastic.
And then I'll play a game with you guys. Will my mom get it right or wrong?
Oh, my God. I want to play this game now.
All right. Well, cool. Well, you guys got anything else?
Yes.
Oh, shit. What's up?
It is Halloween, and it is my sister's birthday. So
happy birthday
to Jennifer.
Yay.
She is a big fan of the Geek Legacy podcast.
Well, good. Well, I hope she had an amazing birthday, and all the best.
Yeah.
I like their little Pokemon-themed costumes.
Yes, they won a contest.
Yeah. She was Misty.
Who?
Misty.
I don't know what that is.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday, Jennifer. What about you, Randy? Got anything?
No. Nothing too exciting. No.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Sorry we got a little deep into the middle part there. We promise never to be serious again. And, you know, make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for any geek news and reviews. And, you know, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and probably every other social media app in the world at Geek Legacy. And until next time, we'll talk to you a different time.